It's amazing the effect one thing can have on a person, especially with little kids. Like, sometimes my son will get a sticker because we went to the dentist, or we've stopped at the bank and he gets a lollipop. Just over the moon. It's oddly one of those hardest things as a parent, because they'll be so excited about the lollipop, but like half an hour ago, they wouldn't eat their lunch. You don't want your kid to be upset, but at the same time, you can't justify candy without real food. And so you know you're going to have to make them sad. But even as adults, we do it too. The nice word from your boss, or a well-timed text message, the right thing to make you smile, has an impact on the rest of your day in ways you never would have thought. Let's talk about that. Let's think about the effect that these little things and the not so little thing, the person of God in our lives, should have on other people, whether we know it or not. Welcome to the Single Parent Preacher. My name is Alex. We love when these little things happen. These little shots of dopamine to make us happy. Video games are great at it. If you ever played on an Xbox or a PlayStation, they have achievements, trophies. Lots of mobile games have them now too. You complete the level and little confetti shoots up, candy shoots everywhere. Good job, keep going. Little ding. Makes us feel good. Hey, we did something. And those little things can have an impact, because you do that thing and then you go and you tell your friend who also plays the same game. Oh, I did this thing. Oh, that's great. That one's really hard. Or yeah, I did that a while ago. The conversation probably doesn't go much further from there unless you've got this network of people who all will be impacted by that somehow. But for that brief moment, you make that connection. You know, this can work the other way too. You get reprimanded at work. You don't get a text message from somebody about something that you wanted the text message for. Maybe you did get it, but it was not the answer that you wanted. Maybe something as simple as your coffee order got screwed up in the morning. It's that one little thing. And now you might be wondering why this episode is called The Other Boats. Well, let's look at a not so little thing. Matthew 8, starting at verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" So Jesus and his disciples go out on the boat. And the indication that we get here is that the skies are clear, or at least there's no storm when they get on the boat. There's no storm for some amount of time, because it says there arose a great storm. Well, they're not going to be the only boat on the sea. They're not going to be the only people in this storm. And I think we forget things like that when we read the Bible. We forget that we look at the microcosm of the story, which is Jesus, his disciples, boat, storm, Jesus calms the sea. But we look at that in like a bubble, like there's a snow globe. Oh, here's the one ship, and Jesus let the snow all settle, and then Jesus calmed the sea. But that's not how life works. And we have to remember that the Bible happened in real time, in real places with real people. So when they're out on the boat on the sea and the storm hits, it's not just like a little storm around their boat. It's a storm over the sea. There are other people who went out because there was no storm. Now there's a storm. Now, the difference between the boat we read about and all those other boats is this boat had Jesus. On this boat, they had the solution to the problem. And they went and woke him up. And I'm picturing a sort of groggy, grumpy Jesus here. So when, in verse 26, when he says, "And he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Picture you when somebody wakes you up from a dead sleep to present you with a problem. Are you happy? Are you alert and ready to go? Probably not. This even says he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea. In this scenario, can you picture like a grumpy Jesus getting up on the bow and just looking at the storm and going, "Knock it off!" Probably. We think of it as something much more holy, elegant. And maybe it was. But Jesus gets up and he calms the storm. And guess what? He didn't just calm the storm for his boat. He calmed the storm for all of the other boats. See, what I'm sure even the disciples weren't thinking about at the time was that there were other boats. Because when we're in crisis, we tend to not think about the effect we have on the people around us. We are focused on ourselves. It's like if you go to work and you're having a bad day at work and then you get a phone call, and it could be anything. It could be a debt collector, your kid's school, kid's daycare, something happened. It could be your doctor just calling to remind you, "Hey, you got your physical tomorrow." We don't handle those situations the same if we're in crisis. Under normal circumstances, the doctor calls, we say we have a physical, we go, "Thank you very much. What time is it again? Let me put it in my phone." Now, okay, thanks. Or depending on the situation, "Can we reschedule? I just can't right now." Have you ever done that? Rescheduled something just because you were overwhelmed that day? With something very temporary. Not major life crisis level stuff. Temporary thing. And you reschedule something else because of that. Or let's say it's your kid's school or daycare. "Hey, your kid's sick," or "They tripped and fell and got hurt. They've just been throwing a tantrum. We can't calm them down. You gotta come." Like, you've had that thought, "I don't need one more thing." So now what was a bad day at work is now going to become a bad day for the people around you. And then the people around you are going to go home. "Oh, how was your day, honey?" "Oh, man, Alex was such a jerk today. This one thing happened, So now it's not just your bad day, now you made somebody else's day bad, and then that rubs off on their significant other, their kids, or their Call of Duty group, whoever. It goes down to the other boats. And see, that's the way the world is. The world likes to pass on its problems. Misery loves company. And so more and more people all adopt the same mindset. They all have the same problem. Even if they're not directly impacted by any way, because this happened to this person with 17 degrees of separation, now their life, their day is off. And that affects all the people around them. But we're believers, so there's something we have. That's Jesus. We're the boat with Jesus. And how we handle it matters. Because remember, a lot of Jesus' disciples were skilled fishermen. They knew what to do on a boat in a storm. And so they could have relied on their understanding, their capabilities. But they went to get Jesus. And while Jesus was annoyed with them, he calmed the storm. And didn't just save them, he saved all the other boats. That's the power we're supposed to have in our lives. That's the power we're supposed to bring to the people around us. Is that when everything is circling and the storm is happening, we're getting beaten by the waves, we are supposed to bring Jesus. And it brings a calm that nobody can understand. Because guess what? Those other boats on the sea, when the storm suddenly went away, I guarantee you they all wanted to know what just happened. Where did this sudden peace that goes beyond all understanding come from? The answer is Jesus. But let's go to another example. Same idea. Disciples are out on the boat. But this time, Jesus isn't on the boat with them at first. This time, they're sailing by themselves. And the wind is against them. Matthew 14, verse 24. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land because Jesus had stayed behind, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He must have been yelling. If you've ever been out on a boat when the wind is blowing at all, it's hard to hear the people that are in the boat, let alone somebody who's presumably not right next to the boat. Jesus is out on the water somewhere, so they must have been shouting. Verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter's out on the water for a while. Peter kind of develops this nasty habit out of getting out of boats while everybody else is trying to work. Peter, the fisherman. After Jesus is resurrected, they're out fishing. And Peter's on the boat when Jesus says, "Throw your nets on the other side." So it happens. And then it says that their nets like start to break, that it's so heavy that they can't pull in the net. And while they're not able to pull in the net with the people that they have, Peter takes off his outer tunic and jumps in the water and swims to land because Jesus is back. You just imagine the other disciples on the boat being like, "Not again. Peter, just stay in the boat." This is how much Peter wanted to be close to Jesus. Because Peter knows you can't walk on water. He knows that. And he remembers that in the middle of walking on water. He sees the wind and he starts to sink. Just as he's close enough to Jesus that Jesus can immediately grab him when he starts to sink. And then they get in the boat and the wind stops. Now we know that everybody that Jesus interacted with was impacted. We know that that impact radiated out from him. Because people who we don't even know about in the Bible, he just said crowds followed him. And there's no Facebook, no Twitter. "Hey, I'm going to be in Jerusalem in 3 days. Bring your palm leaves. I'm getting a donkey. Hashtag Passover." Like, that's not a thing. What Jesus did affected not just the person that he did it to, but then the people that they told, and the people that they told, and the people that they told. And I've talked before on the show about the woman at the well. She goes and gets the men from the village and they go and talk to him. And then they go back to her and say, "We believe him now because of our experience. Like, you told us that we went, now we believe too." And Jesus gets in the boat in this story and the wind ceases. There's not the only boat. What we do and how we respond impacts more people than just us. And even just the person we're directly interacting with. Because if something happens to us and it puts us in a bad place, puts us in a bad mood, the people around us get affected by that. And I think sometimes we forget that how we affect other people doesn't just affect them. It affects what they do when they go home, how they interact with their family, their kids, their circle. So what people do we want to be? Do we want to be the people who create the storm or the people who wake up Jesus? Do we want to be the people who only think about what we need? Or do we want to think about how what we do impacts more people than just who we see? We can never know what that one thing will do for the life of someone else. 20 plus years ago, two men went out for coffee. And as a result of that coffee, I'm talking to you right now about this. Like, when I was in college, I stumbled upon what I think they called an internet radio show before podcasts were a thing. And I went to Radio Shack and I jury-rigged stuff with the guy that I was living with in between junior and senior year, and we recorded one. Over the course of my life, I tried to do it a few times. Then I joined a podcast. And then I made this podcast. And I'm sure it would not take you very long to think about one person, one event, one thing that happened in your life that has led to who you are right now. I don't even think I need to throw out suggestions, because you probably have thought of multiples. Because none of us became who we are overnight. Our boat has affected other boats, and other boats have affected our boats, and the weather has affected us all. The degree that it does depends on the answer to that very simple question. Is Jesus in your boat? Because if Jesus isn't in your boat, he needs to be. Don't worry about needing to stop to pick him up. He can walk out to you. But if you don't have Jesus in your boat, or maybe he is, but he's sleeping below deck, and you've got a storm raging in your life, it's time to wake him up. It's time to get him in your boat. Because he won't just save you. He'll save the people around you. He'll save people through you because of that, that you didn't know. That you will never know. It's real simple. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You don't need a wordy prayer. Jesus tells the story of a man who stood outside Jerusalem and beat on his breast and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. The criminal on the cross didn't have a lengthy prayer. Lord, remember me. Will you enter into paradise? That's it. That's it. So if that's what you need, do it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Just wherever you are right now, God, forgive me. Be my Lord. And in your heart, believe that Jesus really did be resurrected, and Jesus is in your boat. And it's going to change you. And then it's going to change the people around you. It's going to affect them. But would you rather have your storm hurt the people around you? Or would you rather Jesus bring calm to your storm and then bring calm and healing to the people around you? Because your storm affects everyone. So let the peace of Jesus affect them more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us, that you are in our boat, that you help us. We pray that we would let that show in our lives, that we would remember how we affect other people and how your presence in our lives is supposed to affect the people around us. Forgive us. Be the Lord of our lives. Thank you for dying for us. We believe that you came back to bring the victory over sin and death. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. I hope this message has encouraged you and helped you to see things in a new way. And if it has, just let me know. You can email me, singleparentpreacher@gmail.com. You can tweet at me at SPPreacherPod. Thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you don't have to go through the storms of life alone, because Jesus is right there with you.